between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. Do you have too many faces? Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, at least that's my face for this episode, and this is the podcast where we laugh our way out of horror. Not all stories have humor, but usually the scarier the story is, the more likely I need a comedic relief. That means laughter is bound to happen. I mean, shock, right? guys, I am so tired. I have a new, earlier schedule, and adjusting to it has been a bitch. I miss the day I would stay up until 3 instead of waking up at 3. But, you know, these days we have to grind to survive. Speaking of surviving, and grinding for that matter, do I have a story for you? This month's tell is written by the horrific writer you can find on Reddit under the username The Dread Files. This story is bound to haunt your nightmares. It is just creepy enough to have you questioning what dark things hide inside buildings you aren't allowed into. We all know that nightmares are a terrible thing to waste, so please don't forget to email me any of your terror tales, especially if you want them performed on this podcast. My email is dimlightanxiety@gmail.com. From campy to her hands are unnaturally cold, scary. I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them. Okay. Well, I am all settled in and comfy with Peter Pan and Shadow, my cats. Let's get started with today's fear. I never knew that something like this might exist. Submitted for the approval of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of Too Many Faces. Titled, It Has Too Many Faces, Part 1 through 4. Case file number 00182. The following has been transcribed from a 911 call that took place on the night of April 9th, 2007. Note, throughout the transcribed 911 call below, the caller is speaking in a mildly panicked tone and is often breathing heavily, indicating he is running or moving at a brisk pace. Log begins. Oh, 911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, my name is Brian Clark and I need help. I did something I wasn't really supposed to do, but something is following me. And it won't leave me alone. Could you send someone? I'm starting to freak out.
Okay, sir. We'll get someone to you right away. Where are you located? Has the individual following you said anything, or do you see any kind of weapon?
I'm at the TWH Research and Development Center on Redacted Road. Tell them to come through the main entrance. I'll meet them there. Please hurry. This thing isn't right.
I'm sorry, sir. What do you mean by thing? You're referring to the individual following you?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it an individual. I'm not sure what it is. It's not human, but I think it's from one of the labs or something. They're always telling us cleaners to stay out of there, but I let my curiosity get the better of me. When I heard what sounded like the knocking coming from inside one of the doors. Nothing was there when I opened it, but a few minutes after I moved on, I saw this thing out of the corner of my eye following me.
Wait. Go back for a second. You said not human? Sir, are you currently under the influence of any drugs or alcohol that we need to be aware of?
What? No, I'm clean. I know it sounds crazy, but this thing that's following me isn't human. I always thought they did some weird shit here, but this has got to be some freakish experiment or something.
Okay, sir. Why don't you describe it to me?
Describe it? Oh, God, okay. I'll try. This thing, it's tall, almost as high as the ceiling in the hallway, and due to the length of its arms, I'd say it's as wide as a hallway, too. It doesn't walk normally, and it's hard to explain, but do you play video games at all?
I'm not sure what this has to do with.
The only way I can describe it is that it moves the same way a character might lag. Mostly like it's getting caught while still trying to move forward and then just appears in a spot a little further away. It's been moving like this ever since I noticed it following me about 5 minutes ago. I can't get a good enough look at the rest of it. I don't want to stop. Hang on, I can see the fire door up ahead.
Brian begins to breathe heavier than he previously was, indicating that he is running, presumably towards the fire doors he previously mentioned.
Sir? What are you going to do? I recommend getting to the main entrance. The officers aren't far.
I'm almost there!
Two loud thuds are heard, followed by the sound of a locking mechanism.
All right. I've locked the fire doors from this side. Whatever this thing is, it's trapped in the east wing of the building. I just passed the main entrance, but at least this thing can't follow me now.
What's it currently doing?
It's almost at the door, but there's no way it can get in without a key. I'll be able to get a better look at it through the window and...
Brian goes silent, as panicked breathing can be heard for several seconds before the 911 operator speaks.
Sir, are you there? Did it get in? What do you see?
Brian speaks in a panicked whisper.
It's just like staring at me through the glass with its faces. I can't keep track of them.
Faces? As in multiple? What do you see?
There are three faces, but they keep changing every time I blink. What the fuck is this? It's not right.
Brian begins to hyperventilate.
Sir, please try and remain calm. Officers are only a few minutes away. Let's just keep talking. Tell me what it's doing now.
It's just staring at me. I'm trying not to blink, but it's so hard. It has too many faces. How can it have so many faces?
A loud bang is heard as Brian screams. The 911 operator remains silent for a moment.
Now it's, or they, they're smiling at me. Why is it smiling at me?
Sir, officers are 2 minutes away. Just hold on and keep the door closed.
I can't keep track of the faces. There are so many, too many. I can't look anymore. Please help me. Why are they smiling at me?
Brian, please try and stay calm. Officers are almost there. Let's just keep talking.
I need to look away. Is it okay if I look away?
Of course it is. You don't have to look at it anymore.
I'm going to wait. It's walking away. It's moving down the hallway. I think I can make it to the door now.
Brian, please stay where you are. The best thing you can do is let the responding officers do their job.
Okay, I'll try. I can't see the thing now. It was down at the other end of the hall, and then it just disappeared. It wasn't moving that quick earlier.
Try taking a few deep breaths. Our officers will be there any minute.
Brian is heard taking several deep breaths.
Hey, I can see the lights of the car. They're here.
That's great. Please stay where you are. They'll come to you.
A loud bang is heard over the phone, and Brian screams as the 911 operator asks what is going on and a locking mechanism can be heard disengaging and a door swinging open. Brian begins to breathe heavily, indicating he is running.
It's outside! It just smashed its hand against the window and it was looking at me as its face has changed rapidly. I can't look at it anymore. I've got to get out of here. Please help me.
Brian, please stay inside the building. The officers are coming to you. Please try and stay calm. Brian, listen to me. Do not.
Brian does not respond. As he runs through the building, occasionally yelling about seeing the unknown entity outside the windows. It is during this period Brian drops his cell phone and the call ends abruptly.
The following is a transcription of a dash cam footage retrieved from the patrol car of the officers responding to the above incident. The video opens as the officers pull up to the TWH Research and Development Center. At the request of the redacted police department, the names of the officers have been omitted.
All right, let's go see what the hell is going on in here. Dispatch said the operator who took the call is pretty shaken up. Be ready for anything.
Think it's a bad trip?
Wouldn't be the first time I've seen it. Let's just hope the guy isn't violent or pukes all over us.
Two car doors slam shut as the officers leave the vehicle to approach the building. As they do, the front doors of the building open, and a man is seen running out of them. It is assumed that the man is Brian Clark. The officers begin to yell at Brian when a large, gray entity climbs down from the top of the building and stands before him. The unknown entity is approximately 9 to 10 feet tall, with it slouching over, has elongated arms, and is completely gray. The officers draw their service weapons as they begin to move towards the unknown entity. One of the officers is heard calling for backup. Brian Clark falls to his knees and begins sobbing. He can be faintly heard screaming about it having the face of his deceased grandparents and friend from college. The unknown entity moves towards Brian in a jerking movement, grabbing him with its arms. As it does this, the officers open fire, but to no effect. Brian Clark is slowly lifted off the ground by the entity as he is screaming for help. The unknown entity holds Brian directly in front of its face
which cannot be seen by the camera. As it is holding him, the officers begin to yell about it stealing his life, and the body of Brian Clark quickly withers. After a few seconds, the body is almost completely unrecognizable, and the unknown entity drops it, lifeless, onto the ground. Both officers slowly make their way back towards the car. Suddenly, the unknown entity turns and begins to move towards them. It does this in a jerking, delayed, but swift movement, seemingly without using its legs. Both officers unload their service weapons into the unknown entity, and although the bullets can be seen entering, they have no effect. The unknown entity grabs the first officer. While it does this, its face can be seen for the first time. What is seen are three different faces stacked in a triangular shape. They appear to be human in origin, although the skin color matches that of the unknown entity. As it lifts the first officer to its three faces, all three shift in a static, blink-like manner. Once the officer is at eye level, the faces stop changing, open their eyes and mouths, unnaturally wide, and a type of silent scream is observed. The faces shake as if straining produce noise, although none can be heard. While this is happening, the body of the officer withers, and all life leaves him. After dropping the first officer to the ground, the unknown entity quickly closes the distance between itself and the second officer, who is about to get into the patrol car. Although it happens just off camera, sounds of a struggle and choking can be heard from the officer. The above process repeats, and the withered, lifeless body of the second officer is dropped to the ground just in front of the dash cam. The officer's face can be seen briefly by the dash cam as it falls. The face is pale, withered, and cracked, making it almost unrecognizable. There is nothing on the video feed for a few seconds before the unknown entity is seen slowly making its way back to the building when it stops. It slowly turns its entire body and seems to look directly at the dash cam. As it looks at the camera, the three faces it shows are that of the two officers and Brian Clark's. All three of their eyes and mouths are open, unnaturally wide, in a silent scream. This log ends. Case file number 00182-2. The following is a recorded statement from Ronald Anderson, a security guard on staff at the TWH Research and Development Center. The recording device turns on. Statement of Ronald Anderson regarding what he encountered while responding to a break-in call July 13th, 2017. This statement is taken by Ensign Alice Morrison. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Anderson.
I feel like I need to give some context first. I've been in this line of work for almost 15 years. I'm well trained in boxing, and for the sake of this recording, I'm 6'4" and 250 pounds. Why am I saying this? To let everybody know that I'm not some amateur who gets scared easily. I've seen a lot during my career, and I've never felt intimidated. I didn't believe in any paranormal shit. That being said, what I saw that night, I haven't felt safe since. It was about 11:30 p.m. when we got the call. One of the lab techs said they were leaving. They've heard a loud crash on the far side of the building. Thought maybe someone was breaking in. I was dispatched right away and met up with the technician. He pointed me down to the area and I made my way there. There's a certain level of anticipation when you're responding to a call, like a small pit in your stomach. I grew accustomed to it and I found myself looking forward to that feeling. As I made my way down the hall, the anticipation grew into something else. I can't explain. It was like I could feel something in the air wasn't right. Old timers will tell you that's what they call a sixth sense about bad situations. Maybe I finally developed it too. Should have listened to my gut, I guess. I was on the other end of the building, checking in all the windows and doors, and everything was locked. I began to think that the technician was just jumpy after what happened back in April, which is the whole reason we have security now, in the first place. It was when I checked the last door I heard this weird shuffling sound, almost like someone was walking, but with great difficulty. Thinking someone had broken in and hurt themselves in the process, I ran towards the sound. It got louder as I approached. Looking back, the sound was so unnatural, like someone was slowly dragging massive feet on the ground with great effort. I guess I didn't notice being caught up in the moment. I found myself in the lower area of the facility. Mostly there are just mechanical rooms in our facility caretaker's office down there, so I thought it was strange someone would want to go down there if they'd broken in. Being in the lower area always smells like a mix of metal and cleaner, but there was something else in the air too. A sweet smell I couldn't pinpoint. To be honest, it wasn't a pleasant smell mixed with the others, but it wasn't awful. It was just very disarming. Snapping back into focus, I realized the now almost obnoxiously loud shuffling sound was coming from the next hall. I took a deep breath, preparing to finally confront whoever was down here and turn the corner. What I saw will haunt me until my dying breath. Standing at the other end of the hall was a massive person, or at least it kind of looked like a person at first. It had its back to me, but it was so large it took up almost the entire hallway, with its head nearly touching the ceiling. Even though it was hunched over, long gray arms hung at its side with thin fingers. It wore what looked like a sheet or a cloak that covered the rest of its body from view. I froze. This wasn't something I was ever trained for or expected to see in my life. Not knowing what to do, I slowly took a step backward while pulling out my phone. I didn't know I needed proof or something of this thing. As I reached for my phone, it began to turn around, but it seemed to do so with great difficulty, almost like an elderly person. My heart was racing, but I needed to keep my cool long enough to take the picture. I blinked, and when my eyes opened again, it was fully turned around and looking at me. I could see all of it. Its gray skin, its hunched over slender body, the elongated arms ending in its thin fingers that it began to clasp together in front of it, and its face, or rather, its faces. I've been trying to make sense of the faces it wore. There were three different ones stacked on top of each other like a triangle. They were all wide-eyed and smiling. But the worst part was they kept changing. I saw so many faces in the span of a few seconds. Too many faces. Far too many. It just stood there for what felt like hours, staring at me. All the while, the faces changed again and again. I felt mesmerized and horrified at the same time. My fight or flight kicked in as it started to move towards me, and I had chosen flight. I turned and ran to the corner of the hall. I was sprinted down to the other end. The hell would take it a picture. It wouldn't be any use to me if I were dead. I stopped and looked back down the hall. This thing was right behind me, moving in a completely different way now, not walking with the slow, shuffling way it was when I found it. It's kind of hard to explain how it moved. It was very static, like it would blink out of existence and then reappear where it wanted to go. I kept running, but it was gaining on me. I was sure if it got its hands on me, I would be dead. Frantically, I tried to radio dispatch, but it didn't receive any responses. The lower area has a lot of dead zones. Suddenly, in a moment of clarity that I know saved my life, I ran towards the shipping and receiving area. The thing was close behind me, but with everything I had left, I gave one last push and it made it to my destination. I quickly opened the roll-up receiving door and jumped out, pulling it shut behind me with a loud thud. I fell and rolled for a second with the momentum of throwing myself out of the door, but was quickly on my feet. I ran down the driveway for a few seconds before I realized something. I didn't hear anything. There was no sound of the door opening or noises indicating something was banging against it. All I heard was the sound of a few crickets in the calm of the night and the cars from the nearby road. The voracity in which this thing chased me, I know it wanted to harm me. I still don't understand why it didn't even try to follow me outside, but I guess I shouldn't think about that. I called dispatch and police shortly after.
Thank you for sharing this, Mr. Anderson. I am sure that was hard to relive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun to think about, but it's not like it hasn't been on my mind ever since.
Do you think about what you saw often?
I mean, yeah, but what's been bugging me was why it didn't even try to break through the door. Again, I'm thankful that I am alive. But not to even try?
What kind of sadistic monster would chase its prey and then just let it go at the first sign of inconvenience?
If I'm being honest, I thought that thought has left me with this overwhelming feeling that I'm not safe.
No one else saw the entity that you speak of?
No. Dispatch never saw it, and after doing a full sweep of the facility, police didn't find anything either. I know what I saw, even if you don't believe me.
Of course. No one is questioning your account of these events. We are going to look into this and we'll be in touch if there are any further questions we may have for you.
Okay. Thanks, I guess. Feels good to have someone not call me crazy.
The sound of scraping against the door is heard as Ronald Anderson stands to leave. He takes a few steps before stopping.
I have to ask.
Yes.
This thing I saw? It's the same creature that kills those officers and Brian, right?
I'm afraid that's classified.
Right. Something's going on in that building. I don't want to see anyone else get hurt. You guys got to get to the bottom of it. Please.
I promise that we are doing everything we can do to figure this out.
Just, if you run into this thing, don't look at its faces. If you do, it's all you'll be able to see anytime you close your eyes.
Statement ends.
Thank you.
Ronald Anderson resigned from his position as a security guard and was not seen on site after the incident he describes above. A follow-up interview was requested with Ronald Anderson. However, after 2 weeks with no response to the request and with no communication with his family, a wellness check was performed by local police. Ronald Anderson's apartment was found to be in a state of disarray, with no sign of Ronald Anderson, who was declared a missing person. The only indication of what may have happened is a series of notes left by Ronald Anderson. I keep seeing the faces looking in my window, and I'm just losing it. I must be losing it. I hope I'm losing it. Did they follow me after all? In my dreams, I see them. When I wake up, I see them. Please tell them to leave me alone. At times, I see faces I recognize, but they only watch and they only scream. It has too many faces. Too many faces. Far too many faces. The faces watch. The faces wait. The faces scream. And the faces take. The last note was repeated on different pieces of paper approximately 63 times and was scattered all over the apartment. Case file number 00182-3. The following is a transcription of a video confession by an unknown individual who worked at the TWH Research and Development Center, sent to us 3 weeks after the previous incident and police investigation. Due to the disturbing nature of the video, discretion is advised. Transcription begins. The video opens in a dark room with the unknown woman sitting at a table. Her face is not fully visible due to the darkness in the room. However, light is beaming in from outside one of her eyes, and her hair is visible. Her eyes are bloodshot with severe dark bags underneath. Her hair appears unkempt, and her voice is visibly shaky when she speaks.
I think I've sent this to the right people. What if you came in with the officers in the lab a couple of weeks back and gave your card to Dr. Reiner? The man seems suspicious of the labs, like he was looking for more than what he was seeing. I saw him out of the corner of my eye, pressing against walls and tapping steel workbenches. I assuming that he was looking for some kind of secret passage? Well, he was very close to finding it. Any assumption he had were correct. There's a secret door within this facility that leads to a private lab within the TWH R&D Center. You may be wondering how I know this. I'm one of the lab technicians who worked with Dr. Reiner, but not on his publicized works, at finding a cure for Alzheimer's or whatever tale he spins. The work Dr. Reiner does in the secret lab is something much more horrible, and he needs to be stopped before anyone else gets hurt. Brian Clark wasn't the first death in our facility, and he won't be the last. It was just lucky he got the call out in time, as the creatures usually strikes much faster than it did. I know from first-hand experience, as I've been one of the people tasked with looking after it for the past several months. This thing is not natural. although I'm sure you figured out that by now. I don't know where it came from, how it was created, or if it even actually was created in the first place. All I know is the origins of it. This is what Dr. Reiner would talk about over and over again. Many years ago, Dr. Reiner found a journal written by his grandfather detailing his time in the Second World War. Now, I'll spare you the details, but let's just say he was a scientist working for the wrong side. Dr. Reiner never met his grandfather and was only ever told that he was a brilliant scientist. He was working to cure illnesses before the war. However, when the machine of war demanded his services, he switched to creating horrific weapons. Dr. Reiner would talk about the instruments of death his grandfather would write about, but one thought always haunted him. His grandfather spoke about how he ultimately knew that his side would lose the war and that the Allied forces would prove too much. However, he woke one night after a horrific nightmare of a creature fighting on the front lines. This monstrous thing would not only kill its enemies, but it would steal their very life essence and their identity. In turn, it would use its victims' faces on the other enemy soldiers, horrifying them and crushing their morale. The creature would then swiftly kill its enemies while stealing their very identity. From that night on, Dr. Reiner's grandfather spoke about finding a way to create such a monster. Once it was alive, Dr. Reiner's grandfather would unleash it on the Allied forces and the war would be over. There were notes in the book about horrible things such as resurrection through artificial scientific means and sewing bodies together. Near the end, there were even notes about unholy rituals to summon demons. It seemed like a bad movie, but Dr. Reiner was obsessed. This is all he thought about while working in the labs all these years until he found someone to fund his bizarre experiment. TWH Inc. has been backing him ever since. I can't tell you how he did it. I have some theories, but I fear the reality of how this thing came to be may be much worse. I went into the facility early one morning, and there was a chill. It was so cold I could see my breath and felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. The feeling that came over me was unnatural. I wanted to run out of the building the second I felt what I did. God, I wish I would have ran out of there. Maybe things would be different. Somehow, I doubt it, though. Walking into the lab, the cold feeling worsened, and that's when I saw Dr. Reiner. He was staring into a containment room while muttering to himself. I tried to get his attention, but he didn't look at me. I crept towards the containment room window to see what he was looking at. At this point in the video, the subject breaks down and quietly sobs for several minutes. She then takes a few deep breaths before continuing. I'm sorry. I promise it won't happen again. When I approached the window and looked in, I saw three corpses lying on the floor. They were three other lab technicians working with Dr. Reiner. Their names were Clara, Donald, and Ethan. Their families deserve to know what happened to them. They are under the impression they've all been sent on a special project out of the country.
Their bodies were withered and pale. Clara was the closest to the door. It seemed like she had almost gotten out. I immediately ran over to open the door when Dr. Reiner snapped out of his trance and grabbed my arm. Our eyes locked and he gently shook his head. His eyes had a look of absolute fear in them. Dr. Reiner led me back to the window and pointed to the corner where a bunch of equipment had been knocked over. Looking closely, I saw a hand. It was gray with long fingers, lying motionless on the floor. I looked at Dr. Reiner and was about to speak when he shook his head again.
"Just observe, doctor,"
he said in such a hushed voice, I almost had to ask him to repeat himself. We stood there in silence for what felt like hours. It very well may have been. Then just as I was about to try and leave, he drew my attention back to the hand as it moved. Slowly, the hand moved up to the top and flipped over counter, as if to lift whatever body it was attached to. I watched as the body slowly lifted itself off the ground with its back to us. Its entire body was gray, and the skin was so withered, just like the bodies of my former colleagues. Soon, it stood up fully, but still hunched over as if its back were in pain from having to support its unnaturally tall frame. I looked up over at Dr. Reiner in shock. "What the hell is that?" I asked, and Dr. Reiner ignored me and began to quietly mutter to himself again. The thing slowly turned around. And when its face came into view, I screamed and stepped back. It had three faces, and you've already heard from the reports. The three faces were stacked on top of each other in a triangle shape. It stared at us for a moment, and then it slowly began to shuffle towards us. The thing moved with such difficulty, but it quickly stepped over any equipment or bodies in its way. The three faces stared at us while it moved towards the window. Dr. Reiner kept muttering to himself, and I ran to the door. Before I got there, I heard it lock. I wanted to open it, but it wouldn't budge. I looked back, and Dr. Reiner was standing by his desk with his hands on the lockdown control. I didn't understand. I just stared at him with tears running down my face. I looked back at the containment room window, and that thing was standing right in front of it, with its face gazing at me. Dr. Reiner extended his hands towards me, gesturing me over to him.
"Come, doctor. Do not be afraid of this scientific miracle. We have much work to do,"
he said as he walked back to the glass window. I slowly walked up behind him as he stared at the creature on the other side of the glass. Suddenly, his face has changed. It did this several times until it landed on three faces. I recognized them as my former colleagues, Clara, Donald, and Ethan. The faces stared as their mouths slowly grew into a silent scream. With tears rolling down my face, I look over to Dr. Reiner. "What is this?" I asked. Before responding, Dr. Reiner was silent for a second.
"It is what my grandfather saw all those years ago in his nightmares. A horrible beast that will steal the very life essence from anyone it chooses.
Der Endlos, the Endless One." So we began the test. Dr. Reiner wanted to find out what the creature could do, how many lives it could take, how much time It would need to rest after it took a life. He sacrificed so many people to it. Mostly it was homeless people to whom he would offer food and shelter to, but after a while, he began to take volunteer test subjects from other areas of the facility, and then recently, he started using lab assistants. He would watch and listen to their screams as they begged for him to stop the creature. He would just stand there and take notes as the creature would shift its faces, then grab its victim and steal their life. I don't know how, but over time it got stronger. Before, it would need a few hours to recover after attacking someone, but eventually it became insatiable. It would stand at the glass all hours of the day, just staring at us as its faces shifted. Dr. Reiner tasked me with keeping watch over it during the night. Do not take your eyes off it for 1 second. Doctor, not 1 second. Dr. Reiner barked with a threatening tone. I was scared that he would sacrifice me next. I wanted to stop him, but he had resources. I knew he would be able to discredit me and ruin my reputation, or he would just kill me. I spent several months watching that thing every night, just standing at the glass with its arms at its side, looking right at me with its shifting faces, and then it would suddenly stop on the faces of my former colleagues. And they would scream. I couldn't take it anymore. Yes, this it's a monster, but he could never come up with something like this. I could never, even in my worst nightmares. The faces screaming. I think they're in pain. They can feel what has happened to them. God, I hope they can't. I hope I'm wrong. I requested a leave of absence from the project for a week to rest and ensure I gave my all to the project. Surprisingly, Dr. Reiner was supportive of this and insisted I was crucial to the project. Hence, he wanted me in top form. The last night I watched over the creature, it felt like a weight was being lifted off my chest. I knew my experiences watching this horrible, nightmarish fiend would soon be over, at least for a little while. As I was leaving to get a cup of coffee, I turned to walk away and suddenly heard a loud slam on the glass behind me. The creature had its hand rested against the glass, almost like it didn't want me to leave. Its faces started shifting so quickly I couldn't keep up. There were so many that I began to get dizzy and lightheaded. I tried to reach my chair, but I couldn't look away, and before I knew it, I had fallen unconscious. I was woken up by Dr. Reiner and the security detail member. He was screaming at me about what had happened. I looked and saw the glass of the containment room was broken with the door to the left wide open. He told me to go home and immediately after getting checked out by the medical team. I have a concussion, but that's not the worst of it. The creature got out. Brian must have heard the bang and came to check it out, even though he was under strict orders to never enter this part of the building. Then he, well, you know what happened to him. We have no idea how it got free or why it waited so long to break the glass and escape. It was almost as if it needed to build its strength and lull us into a false sense of security.
since then. It's been roaming freely within the building, but we can never find it after it attacks. I don't know where it goes and why it has not left the building entirely. It's like something is keeping it here. Or maybe someone. I often think about whether it would have killed me had Brian not come by and saved my life. Dr. Reiner has ordered me to stay home and recover, but I can't shake that thought. Every night it stalks the facility. Dr. Reiner has become obsessed with capturing it, but it never reveals itself to him. Dr. Reiner has effectively hired a small army to help him try and capture the creature. Still, they apparently haven't had any luck. Something needs to be done before the creature has enough and leaves the facility. If it escapes, there's no telling what it will do or where it will go. It may even come here and finish what it started. Please, you have to do something. It has to be stopped before it kills another innocent life. Brian had a family. He was a good man. I am not innocent. I've made peace with my own part in this, and I am ready to face the consequences of my actions. I see the creature every time I close my eyes. I see the faces, so many faces. I haven't had a good night's sleep in weeks, and I'm ready for the endless one to come for me. I want this. I need this. I yearn to be part of it.
The unknown individual leans forward, revealing deep cuts on her forehead and on the side of her face covered by the shadows. The cuts are bleeding, and they seem to be done in a random order, but a few can be made out to be the same shape of the two eyes and a mouth.
Do you see? I'm just like it. I have too many faces, and I can't figure out how to make them change. But I'll keep trying until I do.
She lifts up the serrated knife and digs into the cuts on her face in an attempt to change the expression of what she believes are faces she has carved into her own skin. This causes further bleeding and severe tissue damage. She begins to whisper a phrase under her breath that is not picked up by the camera's audio. After a few minutes, her face is almost entirely covered in blood.
As there was no return address on the package that the video was sent in, and the authorities could not locate or identify the woman in the video, even though local hospitals were checked for Jane Doe with such injuries, none were found. It's being assumed that the unknown woman succumbed to blood loss. No other information has been discovered about her, and TWH Inc. is not responding to any requests for follow-up interviews. After enhancing the audio of the video, it is determined the phrase she was whispering under her breath was the following, repeated over and over again.
I want to have too many faces. I want to be the endless one. I want to have too many faces. I want to be the endless one.
Case file number 00182-4.
The following has been transcribed from the recording device found on the body of a security officer, Jacob Davenport, at the TWH R&D Center. Recording device turns on.
If you're hearing this, I didn't make it out of here alive. I'm trying to stay calm, but after what I've experienced, I'm not sure how I can. Our researcher, Dr. Reiner, has unleashed something into this world. Whatever it is, I think it's getting ready to escape the facility. The creature has stalked me through the building, and I'm afraid it'll find me. I need to let everyone know what happened. This evening, Dr. Reiner led 10 security team members through the facility. We tore the place apart. We were all made aware of what we were looking for, even if he didn't tell us. Word travels around fast here. Dr. Reiner was confident that once we found the creature, it would listen to him. We were just a precaution, he assured us. What an arrogant prick. We went through the whole building at least 5 times throughout the night. Dr. Reiner didn't want to give up, but we had finally convinced him to pack it in. The search was called off, and the north end of the building, Hall B3, the one with all the windows looking out to the back of the property. Dr. Reiner was having a little meltdown. We decided to just let him calm down on his own and began to make our way back to the security desk. Dr. Reiner began slamming his hands against one of the windows and was yelling in German. I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure he was cussing. As we were about to take our way down the hall, Dr. Reiner slammed his fist against the window and suddenly stopped. He made a strange sound, almost as if he tried to yell, but was abruptly cut off. I turned around and saw the creature on the other side of the window, staring at the doctor. You can hear about something, but it's never the same as seeing it firsthand. We had heard about how horrific this thing was, but seeing it through the window, staring at Dr. Reiner while his face shifted, was terrifying. Suddenly, the window broke and Dr. Reiner fell backward with the force of shards of glass flying into his skin. We all drew out our weapons, fire on the creature without another thought. It was sudden, and the details are still a little fuzzy for me, but I'm sure Dr. Reiner was yelling something. He might have been screaming for all of us to stop shooting it, but he seemed to be in a trance. He didn't take his eyes off the creature for even a second as it slowly began to make its way toward us. Our bullets did less than nothing. They were just short of stuck into his skin, kind of like ballistics gel. It acknowledged each shot, but didn't seem to bother it much. It reached Henderson first. We must have unloaded an entire clip into the damn thing before it got to him. The creature just picked him up by the throat like he weighed nothing. Henderson is big. Well, I guess he was a big guy. We kept firing at it, but it slowly drained the life out of his body while he was screaming for help. Dr. Reiner was just staring at it, whispering to himself in German, while I was reloading. The creature took out 2 more of our boys, which was when the rest of us ran. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I wanted to live to fight another day. Right before we turned the corner, I stopped and looked back at Dr. Reiner. The creature was moving towards him, and I swear to God, I saw Dr. Reiner smiling and laughing. I didn't feel right leaving him, but I knew there was nothing we could do.
The rest of us started running through the facility, making our way to the main entrance since it was the closest. Alice looked behind us and screamed when he saw the creature was right behind us. It was moving so fast now. We were told it was pretty slow, but it was almost like it floated through the fucking air after us. It grabbed Alex, then Galen, then Terry. There was so much noise that it felt like an out-of-body experience. I saw a security door that was open, and I jumped through it and slammed the door. I didn't stop. I just started running until I saw the staircase. My colleague's screams echoed down the staircase as I ran. I abandoned them, and I'm sorry for that, but someone needs to get the word out. What happened? I ran until I saw a fire door. I was almost free, and I heard banging on the door, followed by an ungodly scream from above. I reached the door, pushed my shoulder into it, and immediately fell backward as the door didn't budge. I tried two more times before I realized that Dr. Reiner had placed the building in a total security lockdown. This lockdown wasn't really to keep people out. It was to keep something in. I just needed my swipe card to get out, but that was when I realized my card had fallen off its clip. I started running up the stairs, hoping it had fallen off on the stairs as I ran, but I didn't find it. There was no way I was going back out into the hall. I think I have a better chance of hiding and waiting for help, if any is ever coming. So here I am, sitting underneath the staircase, hoping and praying someone will come to save my sorry ass. I don't know where the creature is, but I haven't heard any screams for a while. I can't get through the door, at least. I don't think it can. No, it didn't see me. I'm safe here. I've got to stay calm so I can give a full report. When day breaks, maybe I'll go see if I can find Dr. Reiner and... The sound of a metal door opening is heard. No! No!
Large footsteps can be heard slowly ascending the stairs above.
I was wrong. It's coming back. Fuck. I don't want to die. Fuck. Fuck. Not like this. Not hiding out like a coward. Come on. Someone. Fucking anyone.
The doorsteps ascended the stairs, currently above his position. The sound of a gun reloading is heard.
Damn, this is fucked up. What crazed scientist hasn't destroyed the world? I would not want to come face to faces with that creature. Who do you think you would see?
I'd hope nobody, honestly.
Well, you heard it too. What do you think? Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for the details. Today's writing prompt is inspired by today's episode. I love the potential of stories based only on recordings. Here it is. There was a crackle on the line before everything went silent. Use that sentence as inspiration or those exact words in your story. Either way, let them lead you to your nightmare. The idea is scary enough, but it's what you do with it that can send it over the edge. For example, what makes the recording malfunction? Why are the characters on the phone? Describe the surroundings. Were they scared before they used the phone? Were there monsters in this case? Oh my gosh, I'm dying to know. Once you are able to squeeze the story out of your brain, send it to my email for a chance to have it come to life on this podcast. If you don't know my email, just check out the website. Links to my email and social media are all on the website, as well as so much more. Wait, what's the website, you ask? Well, that's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with a .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Speaking of stories, let's give one final shout out to the fabulous writer you can find on Reddit under the username The Dread Files. So many great characters, an awesome piece to perform. Be sure to check them out. If you enjoyed this story and or today's episode, please give me a like, follow, subscribe, review on any platform you use to listen to today's episode. Just something as simple as that really helps these writers get the attention they deserve. If you are really feeling passionate about this podcast, tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Hell, tell a stranger. Let them all leave laughing, scared. Don't forget that the next episode will come out next month on the 13th, if everything goes as planned. It will be the 3-year anniversary of the start of this podcast and the last installment of The Tale of Waking the Dead. All right, I think that just about covers it. Well, mostly. We still have the last bit of today's episode. Enjoy, if you dare.
Well, I've got one clip left. I'm going to die here. No reason I need to go out like a coward shitting myself underneath the stairs while I beg for mercy. If anyone hears this, please, for the love of God, stop this thing. Someone needs to know how to get rid of it or how it can be contained.
Footsteps are heard coming down the direction in front of the recording device.
I see its leg. Fuck. Fuck. Someone, anyone, please don't let this fucking thing get out.
After a few seconds of silence, Jacob is heard hyperventilating. He then yells, and several gunshots are heard. After a few seconds of silence, Jacob lets out a blood-curdling scream, and choking sounds can be heard, followed by a loud thud, presumed to be his body hitting the ground. Footsteps are then heard, slowly leaving the area.
I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Until next month, be sure to record any strange occurrences so we can all hear them on here. Creep it real!
1. This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.